We're recording this because we've got other environments with pastors and ministry leaders that we're going to use this in. So, so staff, I'm actually really, really excited about the word that God gave me here over the last week or so. And you guys know, staff, that this Jeremiah 29 really has been pivotal for us. I mentioned it on Staff Development Day, you know, 4 days into January or whatever it was, that first week of January when we were at our Staff Development Day, just sinking our teeth into Jeremiah 29. And I remember on that day, I actually made the comment, I said, man, I should preach a whole message out of this. And then we keyed in on verse 5 that has become our thematic goal for the next 9 to 18 months or whatever. Of course, the coronavirus throws a little bit of that off, but not really. So even from a leadership level, we really feel like there's something to this Jeremiah 29 passage. And so let me set the story for us again, because so I actually reread this a few days ago in the midst of this idea of crisis and really kind of setting our minds on this idea of crisis and God showing up and meeting us in a crisis. So remember, the children of Israel have been exiled. And so they find themselves in Babylon, and there were some false prophets who were saying to them, hey, don't unpack your bags, don't get comfortable, you're not going to be here long. But then God sends Jeremiah, the true prophet, to them. And in Jeremiah 29, God speaks through Jeremiah, and he says to them, hey, listen, don't listen to those false prophets. Actually, you're going to be here for 70 years. In other words, you're going to be in the middle of this crisis for an extended period of time. And so here's the instructions of the Lord. So I titled this message, staff, How to Succeed in a Crisis. How to Succeed in a Crisis. And it comes from Jeremiah 29, specifically verses 4 to 13. But I want to start in verse 1. So if you have your Bible, go get it. Go grab your Bible. You can pull it up on your phone too, I guess, if you want to. But I would love for you to literally be following along with me verse by verse by verse. So we're going to be in Jeremiah 29. Go ahead and pull that up on your phone or grab a real Bible with paper and actually dig into it with me. So look at verse 1. Jeremiah 29 verse 1 says this. This is the text. And I love that God sent a text long before texting was a thing. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders, in other words, the leaders, among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So in other words, this is the letter. This is the actual document of what God spoke through Jeremiah to all the people who found themselves exiled in a crisis, in a foreign land, in a situation they didn't want to be in, much like where we find ourselves today, staff, in a situation that we didn't ask for, we don't really want to be here, but we've been carried away into exile, into our homes for an extended period of time. So skip down to verse 4. Look at this. Jeremiah 29, verse 4 says this. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried, now remember God's talking, into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So they are right smack dab in the middle of this, but I want you to know, see something. God was in the middle of this crisis. Verse 4 tells us, I carried them. In other words, God didn't cause it, but God carried them. He allowed them to find themselves in Babylon. So here you go. 6 keys to succeeding in a crisis. So as soon as verse 4 happens, then he steps into verse 5. And what God says in verse 5 starts to give us clues into how you and I succeed in the middle of this crisis. So I want to encourage you today, staff, with this thought. Look at verse 5. And this was our thematic goal right here for the next 9 to 18 months. Ready? Watch this. Verse 5. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. How do we succeed in a crisis? Here's number one. Number one, we have to acknowledge that this is our new normal. We have to acknowledge that this is our new normal. In other words, God says to them, hey, listen, there's no going back to Jerusalem for a while. It's going to be for them, it was going to be 70 years. For us, it's going to be a few months. We have no long idea how long this is going to last. And so staff, listen, I just want to encourage us today that there's no going back to what was or to the old normal. That this crisis, I heard Dr. Henry Cloud say this recently. He said, this crisis will create a new before and after. This crisis is creating a new before and after. Just like 9/11, there was a before 9/11 and an after 9/11. Just like 2008, the housing crisis, there was a before 2008 and an after 2008. Every generation has their 9/11. And I believe that this coronavirus thing globally, this pandemic, is creating a new before and a new after. And so, listen, I just want to speak to us, staff. Let me put on my spiritual father hat today and say this. Listen, it's okay to grieve what was. It's okay to grieve what was. That the old normal of what we knew, because even when we emerge out of this, the world is going to be different. The church is going to be different. Our church is going to be different on the other side of this global pandemic. And so listen, some of us, we need to grieve that. I was on a webinar with Henry Cloud this week, and he actually said that. He said, it is important for the human psyche and for our soul to actually take that which we fear, that which we worry about, that which we're grieving the loss of, and actually give ourselves a time frame, a time limit to grieve it. Then get moving forward. And listen, some of you staff, you need to do that. You need to set a time limit and say, you know what? For the next hour, for the next 90 minutes, I'm going to grieve. And give yourself permission to cry. Give yourself permission to mourn. Give yourself permission to weep over those things. Give yourself permission to be angry over those things. But then when that hour is up, then you get up from that and you say, okay, it's time to move forward. Because this crisis has defined a new world. It's defining a new normal. And listen, in the new world, things that a few weeks ago were non-negotiable are now negotiable. And staff, can I just tell you something? Here's what actually puts an expectation in my heart. Crisis is the mother of innovation. Crisis is the mother of innovation. So listen, I love that. I love that this verse 5 says that I believe, listen, if we will build houses, settle down, and plant gardens right now, then we will eat what they produce in the next season. I believe that's what's available to us, staff, that if you and I will build houses and we will settle down and we will plant gardens in this season of this pandemic, when everything looks different and then normal is gone and there's now a new normal, then it says we'll eat what they produce in the next season. So number one, we have to acknowledge that this is our new normal. Here's the second one, verse 6. It says this, marry and have sons and daughters. So God gives them permission. Marry, have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Here's the second thing. How do we succeed in a crisis? Number two, we have to take care of our family. We have to take care of our family. Acknowledge this is the new normal. But then number two, I like that God instantly goes relational on this. We have to take care of our families. And staff, let me just speak to us for a second, because we have a rare and unique time, opportunity right now, that honestly, we may never have again in our lifetime. And I've been telling ministry leaders this. I told our Real Husbands group this the other night, that listen, we have a chance to have extended time together at home. That for whatever reason, God has allowed the world to go on pause. And I believe this is a very unique season. Just last night, we were sitting at dinner, having family dinner yet again. I think we're 9 for 9 right now on family dinners, 9 nights in a row. And literally Drew, my 16-year-old, looked up and he said, man, we have family dinner every single night together. And he was excited about it. And staff, I just want to encourage you today. Listen, I know we're all frustrated by the quarantine thing. I know some of us are already going stir crazy and some of us have teenagers and we're already going to our little kids and we're like, please God, when do we get out of here? Okay, listen, I get that. But staff, can I just encourage you? Seize this moment with your family right now. Play games together, plan meals together, bake cookies together, do puzzles together, tell stories together. The other night after 7:14 prayer, Drew and I sat outside and I made us ice cream sundaes and we were sitting out there watching the sunset. And I said, okay, buddy, and you guys know baseball's a hobby for me. And I said, okay, buddy, I'm going to name a stadium and you tell a story. And then you name a stadium, then I'm going to tell a story. And so I said, Cincinnati. And he started telling stories about our trip to Cincinnati to the Reds game. I'm crying. Like, do you see it? Like, and then he mentioned the city and I was telling stories about that ballpark and just tell stories with your kids. Listen, we've been given a unique opportunity, staff. This is a once-in-a-lifetime deal. So let's don't be so caught up in all the quarantine and the news and the information that we miss our family. Verse 7, talking about 6 ways that we succeed in a crisis. Verse 7, Jeremiah 29, he says, also, this is cool, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because If it, the city you're in, prospers, you too will prosper. How do we succeed in a crisis? Here's number three. Number three, make a difference in your city and region. Make a difference in your city and region. Isn't it cool that God right away says, hey, settle in, get your house settled, take care of your family. But then the very next thing is pray for the prosperity of your city. One of the most important things we can do, leaders, listen, is we can pray for and engage our city in a time of crisis. And can I just tell you, staff, how proud of you I am. I'm so excited about our local missions opportunities. And listen, God will use us in this season. I believe this. And God will use people's desperation to bring about revival. And God is already opening some incredible doors with our schools, with our hospitals, with our community, with individuals, with children. Listen, let's keep seizing the day on this. Make a difference in your city and region. I heard Judd Wilhite, who's the pastor of Central Church in Las Vegas. He was on a podcast this week that I was listening to, and he used the acronym ICE, I-C-E, I-C-E. And he said this, he said, when you're looking for local missions opportunities, especially in the middle of a crisis, put this filter on them. The I is impact. In other words, where's the place where we can make a true impact on our community? C is competency. He said, where are we competent? And I love that he basically was talking around this idea of, listen, there's going to be a number of things we could do to make an impact, but what are we good at? What's our wheelhouse? Where are we competent? And then the E is extent. In other words, what's it going to take for us to do that? How long of a commitment is that going to be? ICE, impact, competency, extent. And I love that filter for us. So listen, staff, I said this 3 weeks ago on that Saturday night staff meeting. Remember, I said, listen, the needs for our Orange Army to mobilize in our church to mobilize in this time, the needs are going to bubble up to us. And so staff, listen, perk your ears up. Make sure you're getting with Yoli as you're hearing about opportunities and her team with local missions right now, because this is, God's going to give us opportunities to be a blessing to our cities. I wrote this down. In a crisis, you don't have to invent the wheel. You just have to help spin it. And I love that God says, hey, settle down, unpack your bags, build your houses, settle in, take care of your family. But then the third thing is get your head up and start looking for opportunities to be a blessing to your city. How do we succeed? Verse 8, look, here it is. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. So there were false prophets. Remember, we talked about that. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. Verse 9, they're prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. How do we succeed in a crisis? Here's number 4, watch the voices you let influence you. We have to watch the voices that we let influence us in the middle of a crisis, because in a crisis, we all know this is true, there's a whole lot of voices get real loud. And can I tell you the number one voice that's getting loud in our nation today? It's the voice of fear. It's the voice of fear. And when I was talking to John Bevere this week, he made that comment to me. He said, Matt, I wrote the book called Breaking Intimidation for this very reason, because the spirit of fear is trying to grip the American soul right now. And staff, listen, there are a lot of voices out there right now that are promoting fear, that are promoting anxiousness, that are promoting worry, that are promoting doomsday, that are promoting anger and hatred politically. Staff, listen, we've got to limit the noise big time in a season like this, because our world has been through some tough stuff before, but can I just tell you, God's brought us through every single time. God's brought us through every single time. Look back through history. You can see there were plagues, there were illnesses, there were world wars, there were so many things that our world has faced, and each and every time, God's brought us through. And so we've got to be real careful about the voices that we're allowing to influence us. And staff, I just want to encourage you, sons and daughters in this house, listen, if there are voices around you right now, if there are news feeds or emails or things that you're getting that are poking fear in you, you got to delete them. You got to silence those voices, because as God said to his kids in Babylon in Jeremiah 29, listen, there are going to be some voices that are actually going to try and lead you astray at a heart level and not lead you toward the truth of the Father. So we got to keep God's word. Number one, verses 10 and 11, which this is the famous verse that we all know is true. We're talking about 6 ways to succeed in a crisis. Verse 10, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. And then here's verse 11. This is the famous one that gets all of the plaques and posters ready. For I know, God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. plans to give you a hope and a future. How do we succeed in a crisis? Here's number five. We have to recognize that this is a season and it will not last forever. We have to recognize that this is a season and it will not last forever. Staff, listen, I get it. Like, and we're going to feel it. We're about 2 weeks into this thing. And now that we've got a whole nother month here till April 30th or whatever, at least, it's going to get tense. And we need to know that our people are going to feel it. Our neighbors are going to feel it. Sarah or Allison and I, my mother-in-law and I were out fishing last night after 7:14 in the pond for a couple minutes. And we heard a couple houses down, some people on their lanai, and they were fighting. And you could hear some yelling down there. And Allison looked at me and she said, it's already started. People are already over it. And it's true. And so listen, we got to be able to navigate that. And it's our job to pastor our people in those moments. It's our job to be looking for those moments where we can look on and see that. And so I love that in the middle of this, God says, hey, listen, there is a time limit on this, that the crisis you're in, it's not going to last forever. And I just want to encourage us and give us hope. He says, listen, that's the hope, that there is a future coming. And team, listen, we're going to get out of this, that this is an elongated crisis, but God's got us and God's got a plan and he is working his plan for good. And this is that famous verse, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. This is the famous verse. We just don't like the famous context of it, which is it happened in the middle of a crisis. God gave that promise in the middle of a crisis. And staff, listen, this season will not last forever, but those who succeed through this season will be those who don't just survive it, but squeeze every last ounce of learning and growth and surrender out of it. So we're talking about six ways to succeed in a crisis. And then here's the last one, number six, but it's look at verses 12 and 13. Verses 12 and 13, this is the money shot right here. This is the fulcrum of the whole deal. Ready? God says in verse 12, remember, he just got done with the famous verse. I know the plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. Very next thought from the Lord. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. How do we succeed in this crisis? Number six, by remembering that God's heart in all of this is that we would simply seek him. God's heart in all of this is that you and I would simply seek him. That's what he wants. He says, listen, if you'll do these things in the middle of this crisis that you find yourself in Babylon, then here's the deal. It will be a setup for you to seek me with all your heart. Staff, listen, yes, it is right for us to pray that God would stop the virus. And we're doing that daily, every night at 7:14. We are praying that prayer. But we must also ask God what the deep thing is that he wants to do in us during this crisis. That's how we make the most of this crisis. Yes, to pray that God would stop the virus and that he would heal people for sure, but even more so that we would pray, God, what do you want to do in me? Listen, he's got us all locked down. He's got us all sheltering in place. The most important key to success in a crisis is surrendering to God. And staff, I just want to encourage you today. It's the spiritual father of this house. Listen, the more we surrender, the more we gain. The more we surrender, the more we gain. And I had that image, that vision of a sponge, that if you take a sponge that's full of water or full of a substance and you squeeze it out, then you submerge it like in a 5-gallon bucket full of water, and then you open it up, it can only receive the same amount that was squeezed out. So let me ask you a question. How are you doing at embracing God's squeezing right now? Are you letting God squeeze every ounce of you out of you? Are you letting God squeeze every ounce of flesh out of you? Are you letting God squeeze every ounce of your own worldly, fleshly cares, concerns, and desires? The more we let God squeeze that out of us, the more we can receive everything he has for us in this season. This season will not last forever. We've been given a unique opportunity, staff, to receive so much in God. If it's true, and I believe it is, that this global pandemic of the coronavirus will become a defining line in the history of our nation and potentially our world in terms of a once-in-a-generation crisis, then my goodness, we as God's sons and daughters ought to be so aware spiritually that God wants to impart, and we want to receive every ounce of what God wants to put into our heart. We can come through this and be the same and be resentful and be bitter and be relieved and, oh, finally, we made it through. Or we can come through this looking more like Jesus. How do we succeed in a crisis? God wrote through Jeremiah to his people and said, this is how. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. And Lord, right now we just consecrate our hearts. Lord, you've brought us to this place of surrender. You've brought us to this place of pause. This shelter in place order, literally for the whole world. Wow. God, you've allowed the world to stop for a season. May we not miss it. Lord, we give you permission. Take us as deep in revelation of you as you want us to be. Lord, we're yours. We want to be recreated into your image like never before. We don't want to miss this once in our generation crisis season, this pause season. We don't want to miss it, God. Would you allow these six keys to go deep into our hearts? Lord, do what you want to do. You have permission. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.